Well, good morning again, Living Church. How are we doing? Everybody feeling good? Man, super excited. Before we get into the message today, let me reemphasize something Pastor Whitney said. We're launching life groups tonight. It's a big deal. You know, Rachel and I, we've never regretted gaining godly friends.
That's true.
Being in community has been powerful and important. Oh, Stoney and Brandon, they love each other. They're friends. They got to say how much they love each other. And so it's important to be in community. So if you went to a life group last semester, great, jump back in, get reconnected. If you're new to Living Church, this is a great time for you to plug in and get connected. Go check out a life group, go hang out. If you think all the people are weird, it's probably because me and Rachel are there. Try another one, right? Maybe you'll connect with some people at that one, and it'll be good. But today, super excited, week two of our series, Greener Grass. And the reason we've named it Greener Grass, because it's kind of a saying that we've all heard before. You can look at another couple, and you can think, man, the grass is always greener. That somebody else's relationship always looks so great. You can get on Facebook or Instagram and look at their life and go, man, they go on all the best vacations. I mean, look at their breakfast. I just ate some Eggos, but look what they're eating for breakfast. Like, it may, other people can make their life look amazing, or you can come on church on Sunday and see everybody with their Sunday mask on. Hello, right? And you can look at them and think, man, they have it all together. But the truth is that we've learned that the more you get to know people, everybody's broken. Everybody's hurting. We're broken, we're hurting, we've had stuff happen in our past that we have to deal with in the present, and so we need to just realize that, man, we need to grow ourselves. Rachel and I decided a long time ago that we weren't going to fight against each other, but we were going to fight for each other. Yeah. That there's enough fights out in the world that we have to navigate, and, I mean, we get in arguments and we fight with each other every once in a while.
Just
you know,
a little bit.
But that in those moments we're going to say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop and calm down. We're going to fight for each other. We're going to water our own grass. We're going to fertilize our own grass so that we can be green in the ways that we want to.
You know, I love this series because it's not just for married people, but if any time in your life you've thought of being married, it's equipping you for your future spouse, but also for yourself and how to handle that. And maybe you don't think that marriage is a story for you. Well, it's equipping you for relationships in general. Everyone wants to be heard and needs somebody to hear them. And so the principles that you're learning in this series really are for everybody.
Yeah, it's so good. So even if you're single, it's still for you. Pay attention, soak it up, learn about who you need to be before marriage or the kind of person you should be looking for.
Right.
It's great. Last week, we had four couples up here, and we talked about what men are looking for in relationship and marriage and what ladies are looking for in their marriage and kind of how we can help serve each other. And so we learned that women want to be heard. That as men, I have to remember that what my wife is, she wants to be heard.
And men, they just want to be understood. They want to know what they're communicating is processed and understood in our
brain.
We just want
to make sure y'all understand what we understand so that there's not any
misunderstanding.
Right? That's kind of the goal. Then we talk about how women, they want to feel valued, that I need to be sure that what I'm doing is adding value to my wife.
And that all men need is some R-E-S-P-E-C-T, right? They
come
just
want to
be respected.
Y'all got to go Aretha on us every once in a while, right? We just need a little bit of respect. And that one of the things that ladies want is they want to feel secure. That my wife, she wants to be secure in that I'm acting balanced and that I'm going to be here for her.
Yes, and that what men need really leads them is affirmation. So they just want to know that what we are listening to, what they're doing is making sense, it's good, and then they want to know that it's working.
Am I even doing a good job? Yeah. That's what we want to know. And so that's what we talked about last week. If you missed it, I encourage you to go online and listen to it. But this week, we're going to talk about some heavier things. We're going to talk about some brown spots in the grass, some dead spots in the lawn. We're going to talk about divorce. We're going to talk about remarriage. We're going to talk about infidelity. If someone has an affair inside the relationship, we're going to talk about forgiveness. And so it's a deep one today, and we're going to deal with some heavy things, but I believe that in these moments, when we talk about deep things, that God will bring deep healing, that he'll come into broken hearts and broken relationships, and he'll do great things. So we have some friends with us this morning, Brandon and Kelsey Scott. Love these guys. Brandon, as you know, is the worship pastor here at Living Church. Kelsey just walks around dropping truth bombs everywhere
all
she goes.
Right.
And so you might look at them and think how green their relationship looks, but they're going to share with us today some dead spots that they've had. And then my friends Stoney and Julie Short are pillars here at Living Church. Give it up for them. Stoney and Julie serve in a bunch of areas. They're elders here, which means that they're praying for you and they're helping pastor the people of Living Church. Super love and respect them and trust their voice. And so they're going to share kind of some of their journeys. But before we get into that, just want to share a couple statistics about what we're talking about. I read this week that 41% of first marriages end in divorce. That 41% of every couple that comes together and says, I do, in America will end up in divorce. And then 60% of second marriages end in divorce. And then 73% of third marriages end in divorce. You know what that tells me? Is that we don't learn through trial and error when it comes to relationships. And so if you've walked through a really hard season, it's time to learn and not just jump into something the same with the same hurt and with the same pain, but realize that God wants to do something new in you. Another statistic I read, it said that every 13 seconds in America, a couple gets divorced. Every 13 seconds. Somebody just got divorced. And it's heartbreaking to think that that often, that a couple goes from being in love and being in relationship to allowing external forces to come in and to create division and brokenness and hurt. And so let me say this, that you don't have to be a statistic. But you have to intentionally not become a statistic. The devil wants you to be in one of those stats. But you have to say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to water our grass. We're going to fertilize our lawn. We're going to become green and lush in our relationship so that we don't just die on the vine. And if you've experienced divorce or walked through a divorce in your life, can I tell you something? God loves you. God does not hate you. God is not mad at you. You are not disqualified from doing great things in the kingdom. You know, the Bible, what it says when it talks about divorce, it says God hates divorce, but he doesn't hate people who have been divorced. The reason God hates divorce is because he hates what it does to the children he loves. It's just the same thing. I hate red ants. The reason I hate red ants is because of what they do to my kids if I don't take care of my lawn, right? Because it hurts them. And so if you've walked through a season of pain, don't feel shame, don't feel regret. Understand that God has something great for you and your marriage. Another stat that I read was this, is that one out of three marriages experience infidelity. In one out of three relationships, somebody's going to step out of the covenant of marriage, they're going to have an affair. And as I was reading through those stats, I noticed something that was kind of shocking to me, that it doesn't matter your education level, it doesn't matter your IQ, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter any of those things. That the enemy is attacking everybody with infidelity. And so it's something that, though it's kind of heavy and it might feel awkward to talk about, it's something that we need to run up against and we need to fight and we need to understand we're going to take ground in this in our relationships.
You know, Genesis 50:20 says, you plotted evil against me, but God turned it into good.
So good.
And I love this scripture because all it's saying is whatever's happening that the enemy's meaning for evil, God's promise is that it will turn to good. Yeah. You know, I'm a product, I guess, of a broken family. And I know that in the middle of it, it was tough and I couldn't see anything but what was happening, the hurt. But I know now that God turned that evil into good. And I see his blessings and I see all the things that he was to me in all of that. So no matter where you are, if you're experiencing or have experienced hurt and it's still lingering in your heart, know that God's promise is that he will turn it into good.
Yeah. Revelations 12 kind of is the reason that we're doing this series the way that we're doing it. And we're really asking people to come and share some dead spots in their life. It says this. It says, I'll explain it in a minute. It says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's kind of a wordy scripture, but what it means is that they is us, that people will overcome attacks of the enemy, will overcome negative situations in their life through two things. Through the blood of the Lamb, that's through what Jesus did for us on the cross, through the forgiveness and redemptive power of his blood, but then also through the word of somebody else's testimony. That because Stoney and Julie made it, you can overcome. That because Brandon and Kelsey made it, you can overcome. That because Trust and Rachel made it, that you can overcome. And so we're going to talk about some heavy things and some difficult stories, but it's so that you can realize that what God did in their lives, he'll do in your life. So, Stoney and Julie, would you just kind of tell us your story and what God's done in your life? Talk about some of the dead spots that you guys walked through.
Stoney and I have been married for almost 21 years now, but both of us were divorced. Stoney had been married twice before and me once, so according to the statistics, there's no way this would ever work.
Right.
But we are beating the odds in the name of Jesus.
It's good. Yeah.
I had been in church my whole life, and my parents got divorced when I was 19. So if you think you're going to wait till the kids get older and then do it and it won't be as hard on them, you're wrong. It was very hard on me, and I'd always loved the Lord and had a good relationship with him, but found myself a little bit lost in my own self-confidence at that time and ended up in a bad relationship that turned into a bad marriage.
Right.
And then when I got out of it, swore I wouldn't do it again, but did leave a little bit of an opening there and told my family, I'm not good at this, but if you find someone that you think would be good for me, then I would be open to the idea.
Yeah.
And I met Stoney through my brother. They worked together, and he told my brother the first time that we met that he was going to marry me. He said the Holy Spirit told him that. He didn't know it was the Holy Spirit at that time.
Yeah.
Now he knows.
Yeah.
And we have 7 kids together, mine, his, and ours, and 8 grandchildren. And we decided very early in our marriage that it would be he and I against the world.
Right.
And that united front has served us well, and we put God first, and we put each other second, and then we put our kids after that, and then everyone else comes after that.
Yeah, it's so good.
I would just say that, you know, we are talking about divorce and what it does to us as, you know, adults, but it hurts the kids, it hurts your friends, your family, so it's a tough thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Julie said, I was married twice before, and I didn't know the Lord, you know. I got baptized when I was 7, and never went to church again, and I did meet her brother on a construction site, and, you know, I'd be working, and I'd see her dad sitting in one of the units on a paint bucket reading the Bible, smoking a pipe, and started asking her brother, you know, what's he doing, and he told me, and I was a heathen, doing stupid stuff, and Kevin started sharing the word. That's her brother, and you know, we're acting like a fool, and he's sharing the word, and so it just starts sinking in. And one day, he invited me to lunch with him and his wife and his sister, Don Pablo's in Irving, and show up and sit down, don't say a word, and Julie ends up being there, the second sister, and we leave, and I told Kevin, you know, I'm gonna marry your sister. He said, which one, Don? I said, no, that other one. And I didn't know her name. You know, I know now it was the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And it was just a fact. That's what was going to happen. And probably 6-8 months later, Kevin called me, invited me to go to a fireworks show with him, and the rest is history. And, you know, the whole relationship, like Julie said, she was born on Sunday in church the next Sunday. So she knew the word. And I guess that's what I was hungry for, and I didn't know it, but that's just how we lived our life, and I'm thankful for the rock that she is in the Word.
Yeah.
So it certainly has not been easy, because you know, when we met, I was going through a divorce, and we ended up going through a child custody battle on his side as well, so we were in court for the first 10 years of our marriage, which was a strain emotionally and financially. And so we're raising 7 kids and in court on a regular basis. And it's scary,
right?
Thinking you're going to run into that other person. What are they going to say? What are they going to say in court in front of people? How do I talk in front of a judge? And we really encouraged each other that, hey, we talk to the creator of the universe every day.
Yeah.
We can speak in front of this judge. And we found scriptures to stand on when we went that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you, you will condemn.
Hallelujah.
And that God will shut the mouths of lions.
Yeah.
And we prayed protection over our kids. We covered them in prayer because, you know, people, they get crazy when that kind of stuff is going on. And if you're the other person you're dealing with doesn't know the Lord, you really don't know what they're going to do.
Right.
So just covered our children in prayer when they would have to go the other direction. And we just kept standing on the word in every situation that we're in, because the word says there's nothing new under the sun. So we knew that anything we encountered, God had a word for,
that's
a
right.
promise for us to stand on firm. And that's what we went to every time.
Yeah.
I would say when we were going through all that, and it was tough, but you question yourself, you see, you know, the pain you bring to your kids and just what goes on. And so you're questioning yourself. And Brandon shared earlier a scripture that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And, you know, I hear scripture sometimes like, you know, you just don't believe it, you know. It's hard to imagine that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what Christ Jesus did on the cross. So yeah. It's not about, you know, what we've done. We can get past that if we can ever see ourselves as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you can't see that, then it's going to be a lot tougher battle. But we stood on that, and I was thankful for Brandon sharing it earlier, because that scripture also, there's another one that says similar to that, and it talks about us finding favor with God and man, that a righteous man finds favor with God and man. So if I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then I'm going to find favor with God and man. And I can just tell you, when you're going through all that, you need some favor. And so we stood on that scripture a lot.
That's right. You know, I don't know, a couple months ago, we did a series here at Living Church called Suit Up, where we talked through Ephesians 4 and putting on the full armor of God. And one of the pieces of the armor of God is the breastplate of righteousness. And we really did a teaching on what that scripture means and what it means to be the righteousness of God. And so if you hear that and you're going, I don't know exactly all that means, I would encourage you to go on and watch that teaching. Julie, you talked about kind of going, I know that there's a number of people in here that are kind of in a custody battle and that are in that. So the marriage, the divorce is already final, but now there's all of this stuff that's kind of erupting in life. What would your advice to them in that season?
Find some scripture to take with you and encourage yourself in that, and know that God is for you, that you can trust him. And, you know, we get such a mixed message in religion, and I'm thankful we don't get it here in this church, that, well, God allowed that to happen to you so you would learn something, or God allowed this. And how can you trust God when you think he's letting horrible things happen to you?
Right.
And it really, and then I feel like people can say, yes, I love God, and I know he loves me, but there's still that hole back there that they're not willing to give God everything because they don't know they can trust him because they are getting that mixed message.
Yeah, something I say a lot is God's not schizophrenic.
Right.
Like, God doesn't give you good things one day and then give you something bad the next day to try to teach you a lesson. Like, the negative things that happen in our life, that is a spiritual attack, but it's not coming from our Heavenly Father. It's coming from our enemy. And so we've got to stand on some truth that God says in those tough situations.
Now, the Word says that our battle's not with flesh and blood, but with powers, principalities, and high places. But he's given us authority over that. You know, Jesus went to hell and took the keys of death in hell, and he gave that to us.
Yes, right.
And he made an open show of the enemy. He showed us how to do it, and he did it through the Word and the power of his testimony. And that's what we've got to do. And you know, I learned all that from Julie sharing the Word with me, encouraging me that I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because you may not see yourself that way, but it helps to have a spouse that sees you the way God says. Sometimes, you know, in reality, you may be making mistakes, or you may be sick or whatever, but whatever the Word of God says about the situation, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And we speak the truth. And you know, the Word says that Jesus came and dwelt among us, and that he was the truth, and he is the truth. And so we need to speak the truth over the situation and not maybe what we see all the time. And just know that we are the righteousness of God. Yeah. He loves us.
Stoney, talk to us a little bit about, you had told me that, so after kind of the divorces and then you guys got together, that the flesh, that like your desires were still in you. And so it was kind of like some of that old stuff you were bringing into a new relationship.
Like I said, you know, I didn't go to church, didn't know the Word, and I was happy being single and stupid, and you know, I thought I was. But it's really funny because I prayed for a wife when I said I didn't want one, and then everything I prayed for, God gave me something 10 times better. But, you know, I'd still deal with situations, whether it was finances or, you know, argument or whatever, in the flesh, and I didn't know to go to the Word with that. But every time something rose up against us, Julie took us to the Word, our kids. And you know, sometimes it's frustrating when you're used to dealing with things in the flesh a certain way, and somebody's quoting scripture and you may not really believe it, and you know, and but she just wouldn't quit. And so I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I think that sometimes that as guys, we're screw-ups and we don't do it right, and we do stuff based on our feelings. And the most powerful thing for us is a wife that'll speak life,
yeah,
right? That'll speak into what we aren't so we'll become what we're created to be.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what Julie did in Stoney's life to help give him some confidence in what God created him to be.
I have to share that. You know, she was always telling me that, you know, I was a good husband, a good father, a good provider, even when that wasn't the case. She never said what it, you know, what it looked like. She said what she wanted it to look like, and that's what the scripture says. It says, you know, say, all right, I know what says it. I'm sure Trustin knows it because I just lost that train of thought. But yeah, speak things that are not as though they were.
Right.
And she did that, and you know, whatever I am today, as far as knowing the word, knowing God, and where we are, is because of what she did. She didn't speak what she saw. She spoke what the word said, and I'm thankful for it.
So I think one of the greatest things that if you've walked through divorce or walked through it right now, that I want you to learn from Stoney and Julie is that it's not always going to be how it feels right now.
Yeah.
That, like, right now they're living in victory, and, you know, their business is doing well. If you want to build a home, call Mansfield Custom Homes, right? They're doing great. All their kids were in the first service. I mean, packed out half a section, like loving Jesus, serving the Lord. And man, sometimes I think that we can look at our current situation and think the rest of my life is going to feel like it does right now. But that's not true, because God wants to make all things new. And that we have to be faithful in the process, and God's going to bring restoration.
Would like to share one thing. You know, when we come into the relationship and you're not in the Word, you just... your flesh is selfish, and you can't be a good parent, you can't be a good spouse if you're selfish. And I'm thankful that, you know, that old man died on the road to Damascus, and I brought into that relationship, and we crucified him with the word of God, and I'm thankful for it, because you just can't be a good parent if you're selfish. And Julie and I made the Lord first, we still do, we made each other second, and our kids third, and everyone else fell somewhere after that. And I think our relationship with our kids is better for it.
It is.
I thought that, you know, your kids should be first, and you can't do that. When the kids are grown up and gone, you're going to be left with that person that you put second.
Sure.
And if maybe. So we just always did that. God first, each other second, and our kids third.
That's good. So we're going to come back and learn some other stuff from them and from their story. But I want to let Brandon and Kelsey share their story and kind of what they've walked through. It's a different story, but there were still some dead spots and some brown areas that I know as their friend and their pastor that God's restored.
Yeah.
But I want to kind of peel the mask off of it a little bit and let them tell you kind of what they've walked through.
Yeah, so a lot of our story kind of really starts with the brokenness that we both brought into the marriage before. So before we were both even married, just kind of coming to terms with what we had each brought in. And so for me, you know, I really struggled before we got married with, kind of for lack of a better word, like an approval addiction. And so all that really means is I just needed affirmation from people all the time. My affirmation didn't come from God. It had to come from other people. And,
right.
And so I was constantly grasping for that, looking for that in others. And then another big struggle that I had before we got married was starting really in eighth grade. I had struggled with pornography, and that just wasn't something that I ever dealt with. It wasn't, you know, I'd try to do better for a season or try to not do this or do that better for a season, but it wasn't ever something that was really pulled out and removed, because on top of all of that, I kind of didn't really live in a super honest and transparent way, and so I was the last person that would want to come to someone and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, will you help me? I instead just wanted to put on the good face and make it seem like everything was okay again, because I didn't want to lose anyone's approval.
Right.
And so I didn't want to admit the things that I was doing wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and for me, when I was 16, I was a victim of a sexual assault, and it shook a lot of my confidence and instilled a spirit of fear within me, and the feeling that I needed to prove to everybody that I was perfect,
wow,
that I wasn't ruined. And that I needed to control every possible situation so that I could never get hurt again. And coming into our marriage, the thing that I needed was this security, because I had this fear and this insecurity, but Brandon needed all of this approval, and he was getting it from other people, and I didn't feel like he got it from me. And so the hurts that we both brought in, had we been open and honest with them, they could have been the things that God orchestrated for our healing, for us to work together to, with God, heal each other through what we were struggling with. But instead, it was the exact thing that the enemy used as his target against us,
right,
to pit us against each other, because it was the perfect storm of fear and insecurity and of running for affirmation.
Yeah, and so we both entered into our marriage and started this marriage being super, super broken people, but people that were really good at hiding the fact that we were super broken people. So we were the people out there spray painting our lawn,
right,
every day, you know, just,
yeah,
just hiding the fact that we had all this brokenness. And so we brought all of that into the marriage, and then...
And just because you've learned to cover it doesn't mean it isn't there.
Right.
And so what I think all of us do is we get really good at covering the problems that are in us, but then at some point they're going to erupt out. Like, if something's rotten, it's eventually going to start to stink.
Right. There's this saying that, like, time heals all wounds, you know, and that's a lie. Like, that's garbage. Like,
right,
time plus God, time plus help, time plus the Word of God, like, that can heal wounds. But just time alone, just distancing yourself from something or hiding,
right,
it for long enough, is never going
to
make it
go away.
The
Bible talks about how you have to pull things out of darkness and into the light, and that negative things can't exist in the light.
Right.
That once you say, you know what, I got an issue, I've got a problem, it's in that healing can happen.
Right.
Okay, so you guys both had some brokenness,
yeah,
then came together, and then,
right,
then
so then
what happened?
We entered into our marriage, and then a few months in to our marriage, we had some things going on in our life and my life that I wasn't dealing with well, and I ended up getting involved in an affair with a woman that I worked with, and that lasted about 8 months. And it wasn't something that I came forward with and was truthful about, but it was something I was exposed in. And in hindsight, I'm incredibly thankful for that. I'm incredibly thankful that God saw me in this place that I was in and wouldn't allow me to stay in it any longer, because even when things were coming out and kind of starting to fall apart, my first instinct was still to try to salvage as much as I could and try to hide and try to, you know, spin the story a certain way to make it not seem so bad, but God just wouldn't allow that to happen. And so he exposed all of the truth, and then we kind of went from there.
Yeah, and it was, like Brandon said, the story kind of came out over a couple of days. But once it was finally all the way out, I remember sitting on the couch with him, and I should have been the most devastated, angry person, but... I remember looking at him and feeling the Holy Spirit tell me so clearly, now we can start this marriage that I put together, because this is who you're supposed to be with. Now we can finally make it the way that it was always intended to be. Wow. We've got all this stuff that we can now get out. And I don't want you to think that for a second that that I'm just a really strong person or a really forgiving person. But you know, sometimes people say, like, well, I don't know how you did that. I wouldn't have been able to do that. You don't know. You just don't know until you're in it, and the Holy Spirit is what helps you.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is what helps you forgive. It's not about being strong and, like, gritting your teeth and getting through it. When you hand over your marriage to God, he's the one that's able to restore.
Yeah.
It's not anything that we did or we were strong enough to do.
Yeah, so we both kind of had these moments of,
yeah,
scales falling off, clarity, you know, her kind of feeling like, no, now we can start, and now, and I think you said at last service,
yeah, talk
too,
about your moment, Kelsey, like the moment that you had that was like,
oh,
I can do it.
Oh, yeah. So early on, I read a book from another pastor's wife who had gone through infidelity, and she had spoken with the pastor, and he had shared with her, like, you know, the Bible says that you can leave. This is your biblical grounds to leave. You can, and nobody would blame you. Nobody would be angry with you. But you will never be made a fool of by staying and being a part of a man's story of redemption.
So good.
And one of the things for me, you know, when you are in this situation and you've been fooled, quite literally you've been fooled, you can feel like you're so stupid. Like, how did you not see it? How did you not know? Everybody's talking about me. Everybody's laughing at me. And it's just not true. It's just what the enemy wants to put on you so that you isolate yourself and so that you don't talk to anybody about it. But I knew that the Holy Spirit had told me that I could stay. And I had to cling to that and know that this is the marriage that God gave me, and we were going to fight for this because, you know, Scripture tells us that your hope will not put you to shame. And so God told me, you can hope in this. Maybe you can't trust Brandon right now, but you can trust me. You can hope in me.
Yeah.
And I know that I had prayed. I knew something was wrong, and I had been praying, you know, God, would you expose this? If there's something going on, would you expose it? And he did in his kindness. That's what I asked him for, and he exposed it. But I didn't want that to be the answer. I wanted it to be that there was actually nothing wrong. So I got kind of frustrated with God, and I felt like, you know, you could have kept this from happening, but you didn't. And I doubted a little bit, and I got a little bit frustrated with him. But when I sat down and when I talked to him and when I told him, because he's your father, you can tell him anything, and you can tell him if you're mad, and you can tell him that he could have done something, but he didn't. But it's not that he didn't want to. It's not that he couldn't do that for you. It's not that he put you in this situation. That's never true. What's true is that we have free will, and Brandon's decisions broke my heart, and they broke the heart of God. And he was sitting with me and mourning with me and weeping with me and putting my heart back together, not just so that I could say that it didn't hurt, but so that I knew that no matter what I went through, that God would be there with me. He's right in our situation with us.
Yeah. So let me just highlight something Kelsey said. She had a word from God that God told her, you can stay with him. Like, you can trust me in this, that you're not going to be made a fool. But in that whole time, she had other people telling her something else, right? That there's people saying, you can leave, or you should leave, or it would be easier to leave. And there's moments in life, and there's moments in relationship, that we have to hold on to what God said and dismiss the words that other people say. It's shocking to me how many times Rachel and I will counsel a couple or talk to somebody, and how everybody in their life is telling them that they should just get a divorce, or how everybody in their life says that they should just leave. But you know the people that are giving them that advice? People that got broken relationships themselves.
Right.
And so you got to hold on to the word of God and allow that to be the stabilizer in your situation.
Yeah. Keep going. So then, you know, we kind of both were at that point of, okay, we're going to stay. We're going to make it work. And so I started having to go through the process of just coming to terms with what I had done. I mean, literally, I mean, it felt like scales had fallen off my eyes. I was realizing all of the ways I had hurt her, all the ways I'd broken the heart of God. And I had to kind of go through this season of mourning my sin and figuring out what it was that had caused me to start making those decisions. And so God started leading me down just this healing journey that wasn't fun or easy and required a lot of patience and a lot of humility and a lot of willingness to take a really hard look at myself and what had happened. And he used a few different things to do that, one of which was biblical counseling. That's something Kelsey and I went to together as a couple, but then it was also something that we went to together, went to as individuals. And God spoke a lot to me about hurts and things that I had never really dealt with through biblical counseling. I also went to a Bible-based 12-step recovery program called Celebrate Recovery, and that gave me just some godly men around me that held me accountable to some things. It taught me a lot of principles and a lot of things I could apply to find freedom in a lot of areas and addictions that I'd never had before. And then finally, for me and for both of us, God just used Living Church. He used the people of Living Church. He surrounded me with godly men, Pastor Tristan being one of them, Aaron being one of them, that they just wouldn't let me fail. They wouldn't let me fail. I have a specific memory of standing in the back of this room one day with Pastor Tristan and another pastor that was with us at the time of just, and I just felt like I wasn't going to make it that day. I just felt like I wasn't going to be able to do it. And I came up here, and they dropped everything that they were doing just to pray over me and encourage me and lay hands on me. And I lost count of how many times I had a breakfast conversation with a guy or a conversation with someone that loved me and believed in me and that wouldn't let me fail. And how many times we came forward. I mean, it was a span of probably a year and a half that every Sunday, we came forward for prayer. Every Sunday, we grabbed a prayer partner, and some days we just walked up and cried. Like, we didn't even say anything. We just walked up with tears in our eyes, and the people of Living Church supported us, prayed for us. I mean, the Barts, they were people that we were acquaintances with, like, we knew them, but they were people that saw a fire and started running into it because they saw hurt, and they wanted to do what they could to help and to heal. Yeah. And so just a sidebar, like, that's what Living Church is, and those are the people of Living Church, and that's something that brought us a ton of healing through a lot of that process.
Yeah,
and just to say really quickly, like, the only time that I get emotional about our story is when I talk about what our church means to us and what our people mean to us, and it can seem like, oh, this is a really scary thing to get up and share your story, but it's not. It's not here. Because this is our culture. This is what we do. We help each other. We overcome. And then we share so that other people can overcome. Because that's what Living Church is.
Right.
And so if you're here and you're in the middle of your pain, you're in the middle of your story, like, it's coming. It's coming. Your hope is coming. Your joy is coming. Dig in. Be here. These are your people. This is what we do.
Yeah.
So we're, I just love Living Church.
We're with you. We're with you, and we're for you because we know God is with you and because he's for you. And so these guys are our elders of our church, and they walk through hurt. Brandon's the worship pastor of our church, though there was a season that he had a lot of stuff going on. And so whatever's happening in your life, you've got to know that God's for you, man, and that if you've been hurt by the church in the past or felt like something happened and you were shunned by God's people, I'm sorry that happened. That's not God's heart. And so we fight hard to not let that be our heart. Something that Brandon said and Stoney both said that I want to just pull together as an idea is walking out of pain and being able to have a heart of humility. And so Stoney, he said a couple times, he was like, I didn't know. I wanted to be in my flesh. I didn't know the word of God. I had to submit to what my wife was teaching me. That's a heart of humility. And so one of the reasons they were able to heal is because he was humble. And Brandon, going to all those lunches and coming and letting us pray for him and having some conversation with me and Aaron, kicking his butt a little bit, those are positioning yourself in a place of humility. And sometimes when we get into trouble because of our own decisions, instead of being humble, we become proud and we fight against hell. And so if you find yourself in a really tough time in life, humility is the key to healing. Yeah. That when you say, man, I screwed up. I didn't know what to do. I still don't know what to do. Can you help me? That's when the word of God is able to get into you. And that's when the voices of wisdom are able to actually speak into your life.
Yeah. And it was a huge process. You know, it was a huge process to walk through all that. But through that process, God kind of, in kind of my personal healing and restoration, God kind of taught me two big things. And one was how to fight my shame. Because from the moment I looked at the very first pornographic image I can remember in eighth grade, I started carrying shame.
Yeah.
And there's probably a lot of you sitting in here today that maybe it wasn't pornography, but it's a different decision. It's a different thing that you've messed up in that it's hard to even listen right now because all the enemy is doing is replaying the narrative of shame in your mind and telling you how you should feel condemned and how you should feel not good enough and how you should feel unworthy. But the Bible tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. We've been set free and made righteous by the blood of Christ. It's just what Stoney spoke to a minute ago. We now wear a righteousness that's not our own. When the Father looks at you, he sees his Son. Because of what happened on the cross, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the Holy Spirit that now lives in us, we've been made righteous.
Yeah.
And so God had to teach me how to fight my shame in order to move me forward because there's a passage in Romans that says that we haven't been given a spirit of fear. You could also kind of say shame there, but we haven't been given a spirit of shame to fall back under the yoke of slavery.
Yeah.
See, it's the enemy's scheme. It's his desire that you would remain so ashamed in whatever you did that you wouldn't be able to get out from underneath it.
Right.
That the shame would cause you to fall back under the yoke of slavery. But it continues on and it says, we haven't been given a spirit of fear but to fall back under the yoke of slavery, but we have received a spirit of adoption as sons, in which we cry, Abba, Father. We've received a spirit of adoption as sons. So that was the second thing that God started teaching me, was to fight my shame and to realize that I was a son. I had never connected that in my relationship with God. I had never connected that I was a son. I always thought I was a servant. I always thought that I was this this person that maybe God loved sometimes, but if I did the right thing, but like I just really want to please him, and I'm going to do all these things for you, God, and I'm going to do all the right things, I'm going to be in all the right places, and I'm going to say all the right things, I'm going to look the right way, but you don't want my dirty and broken stuff, so I'm going to hide that because that won't make me a good servant to you, so I'm just not going to give you any of that stuff. And I was so wrong, and it was so freeing to start learning that, no, I'm a son. I've been adopted into the family of God. There's a passage in Hosea 2 that a friend of mine led me to through all this process that it's talking about the people of Israel and how far they are from God. And God says to them, and he says to us too, that I'll allure you out into the desert, and there I'll teach you to call me husband instead of master. And that scripture changed my life. And it's kind of weird, like, as a guy to say, like, God's my husband. But, like, but all that's applying is intimacy.
Yeah. Right.
The same reason there's so much verbiage about father and son relationships in the Bible when it compares our relationship with God. It's the same thing there, that I realized God wanted intimacy from me. He didn't want my perfection. He didn't want my good works. The Bible says my righteousness is like a filthy rag to God, right? Like, he doesn't want my good works. He just wants my heart.
Yeah.
He wants intimacy with me. He wants closeness with me. He wants me to call him husband instead of master.
And if we think that our relationship with God is based upon us being perfect, that's called religion, right? And then now we're trapped in this impossible cycle of being perfect, when really our righteousness is from Jesus, and that's called relationship. And that's when God actually becomes our Heavenly Father, not just like the hall monitor making sure we're not messing up somewhere.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so our counseling was threefold. You know, we both each went to individual counseling, and then we went to counseling for our marriage. And before I could really tackle a lot of my individual issues, I had to feel secure in our marriage. So our marriage was the first thing that I really focused on in the counseling. And through that, God taught me three really big things that I want to share with you. If you're going through this, even if your story isn't like ours, if it's just if it's a betrayal of any kind, the first thing that I had to learn was forgiveness. And that seems really basic, like, yeah, of course, you have to forgive him. But forgiveness is not, it's not natural to your human instinct.
This is about to be really good, so hold on to what she's about to say.
Forgiveness is, it's not normal. It's not in your nature. You don't want to forgive.
Right.
Someone has wronged me, I want them to be wronged. I want to hold it against them. But the thing that I had to learn was that forgiveness does not mean that what someone did to me is okay. It doesn't mean that what Brandon did is okay and I'm fine with it and we're great. Forgiveness means that I'm not the judge and I have to release that to God.
Yeah.
I can't stand and say, I'm going to tell you what you need to do to make this right. I had to release it and give that over to God because that's not the position that I hold. I am not the creator of justice, and so I can't delve it out. The other thing that we had to talk about was trust. And I forgave Brandon long before I could trust Brandon again. Trust is a process. Forgiveness is something that, you know, you realize that I put Jesus on the cross just like Brandon did. And I put Jesus on the cross just like this woman did. And so I release my ability to judge them to God. Right. But trust is something that you have to rebuild. And so something that I had to learn was that, you know, God didn't make this happen to me. God didn't allow this to happen to me. It's a product of our broken world, and he is heartbroken with me.
Right.
And so I can trust God. Even though something bad happened to me, God is still good. God is still sovereign.
Yeah.
And so I stood on his trust, and I could say, maybe I can't trust Brandon's actions yet, but I can trust God in Brandon. Yeah. And I can trust that what he is doing is from God, and so I can trust my God, so I can trust my husband. And I want you to know that if you are walking through this, that there was a time that I didn't know if I would ever feel about Brandon the way that I did. I didn't know if I would ever feel that way about him again, if I would ever truly be proud that he was my husband again. But can I tell you, I'm so proud. I'm proud 1,000-fold for this man that I get to call my husband,
so
because the humility and the strength that it took to fight for our marriage instead of running away is what I stand on as godly submission.
Yeah.
And so a broken and contrite heart, God cannot despise. That's what Scripture says. And so if Brandon's heart is broken, truly broken before God, then how can I despise? I can't. I have to accept that he is living in truth and honesty. And so if you think that you're never going to feel that way again, you are. You are. You really are. You're going to be okay, and you're going to love your husband. You're going to be proud of them again.
Yeah.
I had to learn that forgiveness, and I had to learn that trust. But the last thing that I had to learn was when to let this all die.
Yeah.
It can't be,
let
you know.
Let the past be the past.
Let the past be the past. You know, one of the things that I was, like, so afraid of is I didn't want to be the affair couple. I didn't want to be like, oh, yeah, you're going through this? Yeah, go talk to them. They're the affair couple. That's not what I wanted for our life, because I knew that there was more for us. This
right.
was something that we'd walked through, but it was only what we were walking toward that made the enemy so scared.
Yeah.
And so we Man. Wanted to be more than.
This is what I hear all the time. This is in my house, just all the time.
So because of that, one thing that I really had to learn, and it's still a daily discipline, is to learn when I need to let it die and not bring it back up again. One of the things that that I learned was that when I feel a trigger, when I see something on TV or I hear a song or something brings it up and I feel sad again, or I feel like I want to ask a question about, yeah, but what about this? I had to remember these words. What do you gain? What do you gain from asking that? I can ask it. And there was a time where all the questions had to be asked. You know, I needed to know everything. I needed to know what we were dealing with. And there was a season where I had to ask and he had to answer, and that was what we did. But then there was a time where I can continue to ask questions. I can continue to say, yeah, but did you do this, or what did this happen, or whatever. But I had to ask myself, was it worth it? What am I going to gain from this?
Yeah.
I might get momentary relief. I might feel my anxiety calmed a little, but it's only going to bring shame back up for Brandon. It's only going to send him on a shame spiral that then affects our day and our night and affects our marriage, and it's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants to keep pushing and poking and making you keep asking and asking and asking so that I will be used as his tool to keep
wow.
him in shame.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
That's not what we're doing here.
Yeah, God wants freedom for us.
Yeah.
He wants us to live in freedom. The Bible says that he makes all things new. But sometimes what happens is we're so busy looking backwards at something we've already forgiven and God's already forgiven
yeah.
that we're tripping because it's something that happened a long time ago. So Kelsey had to make a decision. We've went through the process. I've chosen to trust. I've chosen to forgive. And though it comes back up, and though there's things that hurt, I'm going to fight that.
Yeah. And that was our story. And our healing comes from daily humility and grace for each other, forgiveness for each other, and choosing that our marriage is more important than either of us feeling right or correct in that
yeah.
moment. And surrounding ourselves with people that love us and will say, you know, we believe in you, we support your marriage, but we'll also say, like, hey, you're being stupid. So
something that we brought up that Stoney and Julie might want to talk to is, I'll say that God's not schizophrenic, that God doesn't give you something good one day and then give you something bad the next day to teach you a lesson. That's not how God works. And so the hard thing that you walked through, God wasn't in heaven like, what horrible thing can I give to them right now? That's not how he works. God takes what the enemy meant for evil, and he turns that thing for our good. God takes the lemons, and he turns them into lemonade, right? So it was not God's plan or hope that either these couples or us would walk through any hurt or pain, but that he's using that hurt and pain to bring freedom for us.
Well, my favorite scripture is Romans 8:32, and it says, if he spared not his own son, but gave him up for us willingly, how then would he not with him freely give us all things?
Wow.
And to me, I just don't know how you can't read that scripture and know and think about what God did when he sent Jesus. You know, not only did he die on the cross for our sins, but he took stripes for our healing.
Yeah.
He did go to hell and take the keys of death and hell. He's empowered us with all authority over the enemy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have free will, like Kelsey said earlier. So, yeah, bad things happen in our life, and other people have free will. And sometimes their bad decisions affect us negatively.
Yeah.
But we have to know that God has a plan for us, and it's for good and not evil. And if he spared not his own son, what would he not give you?
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, Kelsey, earlier, you know, you gave her the Kleenex, and she said she cries when thinks about what Living Church has done. And we're sitting up here reflecting back about our marriage and 21 years with the kids and divorce, and I'm crying. It's not about bad things. It's about where I am today, everything God delivered us through.
Yeah.
And seeing our kids today and knowing that where they're at today, it's a really good place. And if God wouldn't have been in the middle of it, it'd be terrible.
Right.
I mean, I know that with all my heart. So these are tears of joy.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for God's role in our life. And you couldn't make me say that God does bad stuff to his people. He's a good, good father.
That's right.
I think it's so important to point out how important marriage is to God, because it really is the closest human relationship that we can have that mimics our relationship with the Father. I mean, it's why he says, call me your husband. It's why we're called the bride of Christ. And, you know, a year or so ago, we were at the gym, and the Lord just clearly said to me on the treadmill, a marriage saved is a life saved. And I told Stoney about it when we left the gym. And we had the opportunity to pray with some people who were walking through infidelity. And shortly after that, they came to visit this church, and their son gave his heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I just think, if that marriage hadn't been saved, where would that son be? Where
right.
would each of them be?
Yeah.
And it's a different story now.
Yeah.
Marriage is important, and it's worth fighting for. And it's if you're having difficulty in your marriage, know that the enemy is bringing that. He wants to destroy it, but we have a promise from God. We can stand on that.
And so to fight through, like Julie's saying, to not just throw in the towel in your marriage, but to fight through it, there's a couple things that have been shared today. Stoney and Julie have said over and over again, the word, that you have to stand on the foundation of the word. And then Brandon and Kelsey have echoed the same thing, and they've talked about counseling and about how they went through Christian counseling. And Rachel and I have spent time to intentionally go and put ourselves in a humbled position to talk with a counselor. And so, Brandon or Kelsey, talk a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, I think the key there is the Christian part.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't want to just go find some random therapist, but you want to make sure that it is counseling.
It's founded in the Word.
It's founded in Scripture.
Right.
And so, and for me, all of the things that I was just talking about, God taught me. He used counseling to take his word that had always been stored up here and to sink it here.
Right.
Because I'd always had a lot of head knowledge up here of, I know that scripture and I can say it and I can recite it and I know the principle and I know all this and I know all that. But the distance from here to here can be the biggest distance in the Christian life, is taking everything that you're storing in your mind and sinking it into your heart, because I understood it in my head, but I never lived it out because it never sank into my heart. And so... So God used avenues like Christian counseling, Celebrate Recovery, to help me bridge that gap and to start living out the word.
I talk to couples a lot who will go to counseling and they'll say, well, Pastor, we went, but then he wouldn't say anything, or she wouldn't say anything. Or we talked to the counselor and we didn't really tell him what was actually happening. And then what happens is people get in the car and then they fight with each other about how you weren't honest, or you didn't say this, or why did you bring that up? And the only way for it to work is to kind of get naked, is to kind of go in and talk to somebody in a humble position and be able to admit, like, we're a wreck, we're a mess, we messed up, I messed up, she messed up, whatever. And then from there, you can build. And so if you're at a place that you're saying, man, I feel like I need to talk to somebody, whether it's a pastor or somebody in a life group or a prayer partner or an elder or a Christian counselor, go into it willing to really be honest.
Yeah.
Don't spray paint everything first and then go in and try to look good, because that's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah, like I can go and stand in a weight room, but it's not getting me a six-pack. You know, like you've got to... You've got to be willing. You've got to be willing to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, the counselor, you'll tie their hands if you go in there and you're dishonest.
It's really
or
good.
You're silent. Yeah.
Stoney, I thought of a scripture while he was sharing what he said. Let's see if I can pull it. Though sorrow last, this might be a song lyric. Though sorrow lasts through the night, joy comes in the morning. And there might be somebody here that there's sorrow in your life right now. Stoney probably didn't think after marriage number two fell apart that he would ever be crying tears of joy. He was done.
Yeah.
But yet now, the sorrow, it lasted for the night,
right.
But joy comes in the morning.
Yeah.
And so you might be crying right now and broken in a contrite heart right now, but joy is coming, man.
Yes. Yes.
Joy is coming, bro.
Yes.
Like in the hardship and in the heavy times, yeah. It's coming for you.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
What else?
So good.
Well, I just want to say this. You know, I was... a child in the middle of, you know, separation and brokenness. And what my mom did was bring us to the church where we had community and where we were being sharpened and surrounded by people that loved Christ, where I got to see men of God worship and live a life that's pure before the Lord. And so God took care of me in the middle of the journey. So if you have a child that's in the middle of it all, do your best and be a good steward of them. And that's first thing, cover them in prayer, because your prayers are not void.
Void.
They are prayers that God hears and has an assignment and a purpose for that kid of yours or your children. And then bring them to a place of community where they are being fed and they're learning their own relationship with God. They're growing in their own faith. And God will take care of them. You know, Psalm 91, pray that over them. Pray scripture. Find your anthem for them. And don't feel like you're in control of them.
Right.
You're in control of bringing them to a place of community and covering them in prayer. And that's how you battle for them. And God will use it for their good.
Yeah. Anything else? I want to take a minute to pray for the relationships in the room, whether you've been divorced or you feel like you're about to be. I want us to pray for you. And so, Julie, would you pray for the couples in the room? And then, Brandon or Kelsey, would you pray for the couples? And I'm going to pray for all of us. Yeah.
Lord, I just thank you for every person here. I thank you that they are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
I thank you that the truth is that they are the righteousness of you in Christ Jesus if they've come to know you, Lord. I thank you for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you that your plans for us are good and not evil, and they're not contingent on other people doing the right thing. So I just pray encouragement over every person today. I pray that hope is made new in their hearts, Lord, and that they feel the love that you have for them, that they open themselves to receive from you the love that you have for them, and that I just rebuke the enemy from lying to them and telling them they're not worthy. It's not about them. It's about what Jesus did.
Right.
And I just thank you, Lord, for that truth and that your word is the truth. It is a firm foundation that we can stand on in every situation.
God, I just thank you so much for this church, Lord, and I thank you for your word, Lord, that reminds us of how good you are, Lord, that instructs us in all areas of life. Father, I just pray, God, that you would remind us of your word. It says in Joel 2 that you will restore the years that the locusts have eaten.
Yeah.
God, and I just pray for all of the marriages and the couples in the room right now that might just be looking at loss, that might just be looking at the things that have been eaten. God, but I pray that you would remind them that you're going to restore those things, Father, that's what you promised to us, Lord. And I pray that the conversation we've had here today would give them hope and encouragement in knowing that there may be sorrow now, God, but joy is coming. God, joy is coming in the morning, Father. God, and I just pray for anyone, God, husband, wife, whoever, Lord, that's sitting on a secret right now, Lord, would you expose them? God, I don't pray that in a mean way or a hurtful way, God, but I pray that out of your kindness,
yeah.
God, that you would expose sin. God, you would bring it out into the light where it can be dealt with and where these people can find freedom and restoration. Lord, I just thank you, God, for the work that you've done in my marriage and the marriages of the people represented here. And I thank you for the work you're going to do in every marriage and living church. God, we give them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.